Just over 500 years ago, on this date, October 31st, the 34-year-old German priest, scholar, Martin Luther, he was living in a valley of decision. The pressure was on, real pressure. You talk about social pressure, peer pressure. He was living with a choice like our text speaks of. He was living with this choice before him in his soul. He wasn't alone. He had students and disciples and colleagues and common people who had been hearing him gladly. But he is battling this choice internally on his own of either saving his life or being willing to lose it for the sake of the gospel. And do you remember his famous words in those hours? If I profess with the loudest voice every portion of truth except that which the world and the devil are currently attacking, then I am not confessing Christ, however loudly I profess Him. Our text this morning gives such a call to realize that the call of Jesus Christ is a call to follow unto death. And we heard weeks ago our Lord give the call to discipleship. Whoever wants to come after me, let him do what? Deny himself, embrace a cross, and follow me. Here, verse 35, he continues this exhortation, this teaching. And in verse 35, we find what I would call the paradox of Christianity. And it is a paradox. This verse has been used in history. This passage has been greatly used in history. The well-known saying of Philip Henry over quoted 300 years later by the martyr Jim Elliot. Henry said, "He is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose." Surely Henry had this passage in mind when he wrote those words, saving your life and yet losing it. Losing in order to save. It's a paradox. It's a contradiction in terms, in a way. You choose, the Lord's saying, you choose to save your life, you're going to lose it. You choose to lose your life, you're actually saving it. Isn't that remarkable to think about? Now, along with this paradox, in the next two verses, this is the context, Jesus is going to ask perhaps the two greatest questions possible that anyone could be asked evangelistically. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? And what can a person give in exchange for his own soul? What's as valuable in this whole world as a person's own soul? So our text, verse 35, is sandwiched in these evangelistic statements of the call of Jesus Christ to follow Him. Remember, He's not doing deeper teaching for spiritual maturity. He's doing evangelism. These are good, David, for evangelism, this passage right here. For in verse 34, it says that He called all the people together with the disciples. So He's saying this to everyone who's present. The paradox of our text is meant to grip the mind of His hearers for them to see themselves more clearly in the moment. These verses show us this, and verse 35 particularly shows us this, that it always will cost to follow Jesus Christ, but it costs much more not to. It always will cost to follow Christ, But it costs much, much more to not to follow Him. The meaning of our Lord's words here are profound and very personal. Think about it. Think how the people would have heard Him that day. Think of how people near Him would have been looking intently at His face, and they heard and saw the words coming out of His mouth for them in the moment. Whoever desires to save, hold on to his life, will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will find it. This is not a command or an exhortation. Rather, it's a declaration containing two things, a warning and a promise. The first half is a warning. The second half is a promise. And they are an eternal warning and an eternal promise. Not for this life primarily, but for the one which is to come. This is a gospel paradox, verse 35. I want us to see it, for us to get it, for us to sink in what our Lord is truly saying. Because as believers, we can use this in sharing the gospel with people around us who have such a false view of Christ, such a shallow view of what Christianity is, and such a shallow, incorrect view of what it even means to believe in Jesus Christ. This is two statements that seem to contradict one another, but they're still both statements that are true. Logically self-contradictory statements. If you save, you actually lose. That'll make somebody look at you with a puzzled look. If you save, you're going to lose. If you lose, you're actually going to save. The act of saving your life causes you to lose. And the act of losing actually causes you to save. What's being lost or saved here? A person's soul. Not your 401k, not your retirement, not your job, not an earthly family member to death. No, your soul eternally is what's lost. So no words could ever be more important than what's right here. Jesus chose these statements perfectly to reveal the eternal consequences of both choices. Whoever desires to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow. If you choose to hold on to your life and save your life, avoiding the cost of following me, you lose. But if you lose your life in me and for me, you will live, though you have nothing else in this life. So two simple points in the text. And the first is this. Number one, if you save your life, you'll lose it. What did Jesus mean? To save your life means to preserve yourself from the cost, from the call, from the cost of discipleship. To save your life means you preserve yourself. You hold on to your life as it is, rather than surrender. It's exactly what our Lord is talking about here. In light of the Savior's clear calls and demands, you hear them and you're at a crossroads. You have a choice. Some of you have been in this church for years and you've heard the Savior's call to you and you're still riding the fence. You're still on the sideline. You're still neutral. And today, may God, by His grace and His love, cause you to see that the choice today is before you again if you're not in Christ, if you're not a Christian. Christ says to you, if you hold on to your life as it is, you're going to lose it. But if you'll lose your life for me, and for my sake, for the gospel, you are actually saving your life. Do you love your life? Then let's hear the words of our Savior this morning. If we hold on to our life rather than surrendering to the gospel, we choose, Jesus says here, self-preservation and self-destruction. I don't want to be rejected. You know, there's a cost, and you think about it. I don't want to be rejected. You know, I'm too embarrassed. I don't want to be laughed at. I don't want the shame that I know some have experienced. I don't want to be ridiculed. I don't want to go through it. I don't want to have to do it. I'm afraid I'd lose friends. When a person's heart says that, when self-interest, self-preservation, self-image, self-reputation rule in light of the gospel call, I, me, mine, then you're saving yourself in this world, for this world, and you can't have Christ. You can never have Christ, ever, if you don't choose against yourself. You save your life, Jesus said you'll lose it. So we rationalize and we justify. When Christ's words come to us and hit our mind and our conscience, and we're gripped by it, and we don't know yet if we know the Savior, or we know honestly that we don't, and we're right there where we've always been, always staying there, you rationalize and you justify and you excuse, and you thus resist the Savior's claims, and in resisting, you are still rejecting His kindness and His mercy. Saving your own life. Running your own life. But what is Christ's call here? It is absolutely anti-self. Now, ultimately, you're saving yourself. But here, in our sin, in the call of discipleship, in the call of the gospel, every person is brought to the point that they have to face the fact that Christ's call to them is anti-self. You got to choose against yourself and choose Him. It's not coming to me and everything will be great. We know that. That's what many in the world are preaching. We know that is foolish. The call of the gospel here is, if anyone wants to follow me, here's the cost. And if you won't pay the cost, if you save your own life, you're going to lose it. So when you think about all the people that would have heard Jesus that day, one of the gospels says that it was a multitude of people. And He called the crowd. Many were hearing Him. Clearly. But how many ended up following? How many became true followers? How many yielded to the call of the gospel through our Savior's message, and their hearts ignited, and they yielded and they surrendered and said, I will follow this one with all my heart. How many heard the word but perish because they went away saying, maybe that's true. It's sure interesting, but I'm just not ready. When it comes to the crossroad of choosing either God's way or your way, Christ's truth or your own self-centered belief, His light or darkness, Christ or yourself, if you choose self every time, you will lose your soul. Nothing's ever going to change unless you realize, I must follow this Savior. And by choosing self, by preserving your life, you reject the Savior. Matthew Henry has such wonderful thoughts on this text. I want to mention a few. Quote, self-preservation ends in self-destruction. Self-saved is destruction. Self-lost is eternal life. Many have ruined their souls eternally to preserve themselves temporarily. He who loses his soul to hold on to this world makes a very foolish bargain for himself. When a person chooses self as Lord, they continue to lose their own soul. Now, in leaving this point, R.C. Sproul admonishes us with this, quote, "If we are preoccupied with living for ourselves every day, preoccupied with living for ourselves, our interests, our wants, our desires, the very attempt will result in destruction eternally." So the first statement, whoever will preserve his own life will lose it. But that's only half of the statement. Secondly, Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will actually save it. The second phrase is just as true, but it's just wonderful. Here's the promise. The first was a warning. Here is the promise in the text. It's a gospel promise. Whoever loses his life for me will save his life. That is radical, it's remarkable, and it's life eternal. What does it mean to lose your life for Christ's sake? Some of you have thought several years, recent months, the gospel and your relationship with Christ has been on your conscience, on your mind. You know it has. And you're in that valley of decision. So this morning, I long for you to hear the Savior's words to your heart. What does it mean? What is it to lose your life for Christ's sake? You can lose it today and find Him. What is it to lose your life for Christ's sake? It is to turn from self-control and self-rule. It is to turn from your sin truly in your heart to Him in simple faith. It's to turn from the idol of self to the living and true God. It's, as Jesus called the disciples, those fishermen, it's to leave your nets, whatever is your preoccupation, whatever's keeping you from following, to leave your nets and to turn and follow Christ. It is to go to Christ just as you are, without reservation, and not look back. A turning from self-will, self-seeking, self-worship, self-lordship to Christ is a real turning of the heart. You don't have to bring works. You don't have to try harder. But it's a genuine turning of the heart. The people who heard our Savior call them that day, they had a choice. He said in verse 34, if anyone wants to, if anyone desires, let him. There's a choice involved. Turning your back on your past sinful life and your ways and what you want and surrendering. A true surrender of yourself to Christ that you would say in your heart, henceforth, I don't want to live unto myself. I want to live for Christ. That from now on, as Paul said to the Corinthians, we no longer live unto ourselves, but unto Him who died and rose again, who died for us, living for the Savior, living for the gospel. Another way of saying what Jesus said here is, do you want to live for yourself, ignore my claims, go on with your life, make it whatever you want it to be, and in the end, you'll lose it all? Or do you want to stop and now surrender and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be a follower. Here I am. And you give up, you surrender, and you yield your life to Him. You will preserve your life for eternity. Living for the gospel. One of the greatest illustrations of this is Christian and Pilgrim's Progress. I may have shared this story before, but it always strikes me so deeply because it's such a picture. He's fleeing the city of destruction. And he's running. He knows what's going to happen. And he turns his back on everything. Even his wife, even his children, his past, and he runs. And Bunyan said this about him. "So I saw in my dream, the man began to run. But his wife and children, perceiving it, began to cry after him to return. But he put his fingers in his ears and ran on, saying, 'Life, life, eternal life.'" And Bunyan said, "He did not even look back behind him." The gospel is a paradox, and every person comes to that crossroads. To live for self, you lose life eternal. To die to self and to live for Christ and the gospel, you gain life. Not only eternal life, what did Jesus say in John 10? You gain life abundant and rich and full now. You hold on to your life now and you won't turn to Christ, it will produce sin and emptiness and misery and the world scarring the soul. You will gain nothing, but at the end, you lose eternally. To die to self and to live for Christ and the gospel, that's what Christ is calling us to here. So back to Martin Luther. 504 years ago today, the young Luther could have sought to save his life. He had a choice right before him that was very, very real. If you've never just read the history of that day on October 31st about Luther and the immediate days surrounding it, if you've never read it, go read it and see the drama, see the cost, see what he was facing. He could have sought to save his life and spare himself. He could have fled and kept silent. There would have been those around him that were saying, "Run, Master Luther, run, hide yourself, they will kill you." But Luther, 34 years old, 4 years younger than Jason Courtney, young man, he chose Christ and the gospel over his own self-preservation. And his choice shook the world and changed all of Europe. One choice of the soul in relation to Jesus Christ. Some of you need to come through with Christ. You've been in the valley of decision too long. Will you follow Christ? Will you say to yourself, "I want Christ more than what I want. Yes, Lord, I'm yours." Ours today is also like Luther's, in one sense, every day. Not to live unto ourselves, but always, always, always to live unto Him who gave up His life for us. And He's the one who says, "Whoever wants to follow me, here's what you got." Self-denial, a cross, and a life of discipleship. Whoever is going to save that life of his will lose it. Whoever will lose his life for me will find it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your words search the heart. These words have been true for every one of us who this morning know you. And they're true this morning more than ever for those today who need to know you and trust you and come to you. Father, bless your words to our lives, our hearts, our souls. Cause us to be true disciples, even loving not our lives unto death. Bless your word to every heart. Apply it to us right where we are. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing another hymn that pilgrims love to sing. We're marching to Zion.